congregation, there can be sometimes times in life, maybe you recognize that God feels distance. That it seems that the Lord is not working. That you are discouraged. That the words of the psalmist begin to make sense. And that you begin to wonder with the psalmist, will the Lord cast off forever? Does his promise fail forevermore? Those times when there is maybe a promise in your life and you long for the fulfillment to see that promise fulfilled, but I am waiting. And waiting, and waiting. Those times that you think, has God forgotten to be gracious? Well, for example, as parents or grandparents, when you may have children or grandchildren that maybe are not in church tonight or not in church anymore. Maybe when you have children that seem to go through life without a purpose, with much anxiety, and sometimes for us as parents, so difficult to relate what is going on. We don't understand them. Maybe you sit here tonight. There were times in the past that you could sing of the mercies of the Lord, but now, or that you go to church, but it is so different than before. The feelings are lukewarm, maybe indifferent or distracted. Congregation, in short, that can be a season or time in your life of spiritual drought, dryness, spiritual dryness. And of course, it would be very tempting to give you a whole set of reasons why. But if you cannot that work of grace in your heart, you know what I am talking about. And it feels that the Lord does not hear your prayers, and it seems that he does not see your pain or frustration. It seems that the Lord is so distant. It seems that he refused to remove your struggles or change your circumstances. Maybe even sometimes you come to a place that we do not know anymore what to pray. And when you open your Bible, it seems empty of meaning. In short, God is missing. So it seems. That is experienced in this Psalm 63. And congregation, experiencing a missing of God's presence, a missing of his presence, is a wilderness experience. Maybe times in life that you came to the sanctuary, to church, seeing that the Lord was at work. Psalm 63 verse 2, seeing his power and glory. Or with the words of Psalm 66, come and see the works of God and make a joyful noise unto God, praise and sing to him. But now, you say, oh God, I am in a dry and thirsty land. You go through the motions. Church life is not experienced as it was before. And it seems that the Lord does not know your needs. And it seems sermons, they do not touch you. Look, moralism and legalism reads and explains this Psalm 63 as follows. Eh? I seek the Lord, I thirst for him, I long for him, I bless him, I remember him, I rejoice, I, what I do and must do. And then I experience his love and his help. But friends, the gospel tonight is, because of thy loving kindness. Because of thy loving kindness, as I have seen in the sanctuary. Congregation, when was it the last time? In this sanctuary. That is remembered even in the wilderness. The sanctuary, his presence is remembered. Verse 7, because thou hast been my help, and therefore I will rejoice, and early will I seek thee. And therefore my soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longs for thee. May you miss the Lord's presence. It is a wilderness, is it not? A wilderness is an experience like an uninhabited and inhospitable place. A place seemed to be of seemingly disfavor, a place of neglect and abandonment. But the wilderness is also a place that removes the distractions in your life. A place that tests the heart. A spiritual wilderness, young people, that is with the word of Psalm 61, from the end of the earth I will cry unto thee, and my heart is overwhelmed. And it seems that God does not hear. That is the experience, young people, with the verse of Psalm 62, my soul waits for God. And it seems the wait is so long. Or with the words of Psalm 63, our psalm that we read this night, I'm in a dry and thirsty land and no water. And my soul thirsts and my soul longs for the living water, for Christ. Where are you this evening? How is your life? Maybe we have not seen each other for a while. Those times in life that your life seemed to be in a holding pattern, like a plane in the air approaching a busy airport, circle and circle and circle. Or more personal, it seems that you have come used to the spiritual dryness in your life. Friends, how is your spiritual life? If there is spiritual life in you, verse 11, the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Young people, that means outwardly church going, but inward, no need of Christ. But your life is a lie. And it shall be stopped, says the scripture, says the Lord, sooner or later. But how is your spiritual life when you cannot deny by grace, O God, thou art my God. But that were other times. Let us then briefly meditate with the help of the Lord on this brief psalm, only 11 verses, so that each of us, regardless where you are in life, whatever what is going on in your life, whatever you have brought into church this evening, so that each of us may leave this place for this new week and testify, O God, oh yes, thou art my God, because of thy loving kindness, and because thou hast been my help. Or in contemporary language, young people, O God, you are my God because of your steadfast love, and you have been my help. First then, His loving kindness. Three aspects. What it is. What is his loving kindness? Why it is? And how his loving kindness ought to transform us. In the first place then, the Lord's loving kindness. What it is, why it is, and how his loving kindness ought to transform us. Congregation, the word that is used here in the text, loving kindness, is in the original language is called geset. And geset is a word that is used in the Old Testament that speaks of God's character, who he is. It speaks of his unfailing love, his steadfast love, his favor, his faithful love, his gracious love, his goodness, his kindness. In general, he is attending to the needs of his creatures, attending to the needs of you and me in an outward sense. What we confess, what we just did with the words of the Apostles' Creed, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Which meaning is also confessed with the words of the Heidelberg Catechism. That means his almighty and ever-present power, whereby, as with his hand, he still upholds heaven and earth and all creatures, and so governs them that leaf and blade, rain and rot, fruitful and barren years. Those times in which life seemed a desert and a wilderness, yes, those also. Indeed, all things, says the Catechism, come to us, not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. That is his loving kindness to you and me. Undeserved. And the Lord attests in Micah that he delights in loving kindness. Who is a God like unto thee that pardons iniquity, that passes by the transgression of a remnant of his heritage? He retains not his anger forever, because he delights in geset, in kindness, in mercy. Or with the words of Psalm 130, let Israel hope in the Lord for, and that is who he is, with the Lord there is mercy, and there is plenteous redemption. Also tonight. Friends, the loving kindness of the Lord is abundant, is good, is great in extent, and is everlasting. Abundant, for example, Psalm 86, but thou, O Lord, art full of compassion, gracious, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and truth. And why? Because he has neither dealt with us. Have you seen that now? Have you ever seen that in your life? He has neither dealt with us nor rewarded us according to our sins. Abundant in loving kindness. In his goodness, Psalm 109, O God the Lord, for thy name's sake, because thy mercy is good. Everlasting, great in extent, Psalm 33, the earth is full of geset, of goodness of the Lord. Everlasting, Psalm 118, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say, let his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, let his mercy endures forever. Let them now that fear the Lord, also in our midst, tonight. And say that his mercy endures forever. This congregation is the loving kindness of the Lord, who he is and for who. For a people like you and me. By nature fallen people, by nature sinners and young people, not in general terms, kind of an abstract concept, that is what we make of sin. but having become sinner before God. Do we still know that language? It's not something of the past. Young people, when the Lord begins to work in your heart, you begin to see something, to become a sinner before God. When he works in you, then you begin to see the bitterness of sin and the sweetness of Christ. And it can be so mixed together. And yet in his loving kindness, in his general care, in his concern for each of us, he walks after us. He provides for us. He cares for us in every way, for every need. Pause for a moment this evening and see the undeserved loving kindness of the Lord towards you. What more, his loving kindness is especially shown in the work of salvation. This great privilege that he has brought us in church this night. There is a reason. It's not just something random that you sit here. But he shows his work of salvation to you. Also tonight. That is his loving kindness. By sending his only and beloved Son, Christ, to the world. For a people like you and me, redemption, deliverance from sin. When by grace you have encountered your sin. Maybe all the months you remember those days, Psalm 25, remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgression, according to thy mercy, according to Geset. Remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Did you ever pray this? Is it not? Loving kindness, making one from death to life and keeping life. This is loving kindness. Psalm 119, revive me according to thy loving kindness. Then it is the Lord himself who draws to himself through his loving kindness with cords of love, as we heard this morning. And remember, we did not deserve anything. And yet he shows mercy, loving kindness to thousands, as we heard this morning, as we read Sunday after Sunday from Exodus 20. And in his loving kindness, he brought you to church this evening. And he reminds us through his word who he is and wants to be for sinners like you and me, who he will be for each of his children. Why is that? Why is that? Because there is anything in us, any merit that we deserved his kindness, your piety. Because I seek him early, speaking with the psalmist of 63. Because I thirst and long for him. Because I remember him, meditate on him, verse 6. That is what moralism and legalism are. If you seek him and long for him, Then you experience his loving kindness. Or, no, I need to seek him earnestly. I really need to long for him. And then maybe I experience his steadfast love. But friends, how much is earnestly and what is enough? Friends, the good and gracious gospel tonight is, with the words of Bonar, not the labor of my hands can fulfill thy law demands. Have you learned that by grace? Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All could never sin erase. That is the cry of the heart. Thou must save, and save by grace. Nothing in my hands I can bring. But the cross, where God's loving kindness was most displayed. then it is Christ on the cross who called out, I thirst, so that you can thirst after him. And echo with the words of Psalm 42, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. And therefore it is he also tonight who invites, even now, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Oh, see then Christ tonight who was given vinegar, so that you, being in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water, so that you can receive living water, Christ who invites again, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And he says to you, no, to everyone that thirsted, come ye to the waters. Oh, see then Christ afresh and anew, whose body, whose flesh was broke, so that your flesh can long for him. Even when you have to say in those times, my flesh and my heart faileth, but, O wonder of grace, and only and because of Christ, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Oh, see then Christ, whose soul was exceeding sorrowful, even unto death, so that your soul can thirst after him. Even in times that you have to experience, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? But because of Christ, tell then your struggling soul, hope in God. He is the health of my countenance and my God. Then it is Christ who left the place of glory so that you may see his glory again in verse 2 as we read it in Psalm 63. So that you can leave this place, leave church again and see. We have seen Jesus, and it was even in the wilderness, because you have experienced the words of Hosea. I, says the Lord, will allure her and bring her in the wilderness. And there, in the wilderness, I will speak comfortably unto her. Friends, when was it the last time that the Lord spoke to your soul, even in the wilderness? Should Christ, who he is, for such one as you are, for what he has accomplished, what you and I never could and can accomplish ourselves, or that not to transform us, to seek him early, to thirst after him again, to long for him because of his loving kindness. To whom else shall you go then when you are in a dry and thirsty land, those times that you are in the wilderness of life? Oh, here is Christ, Christ himself, Christ who urges you kindly, graciously, generously, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let him or her that is a thirst come. And whosoever, do you hear? No one excluded, eh? No one excluded. Whoever will, let him take the water of life freely. It has been freely prepared in Christ. It must be freely received. O God, thou art my God. Because of his loving kindness in Christ. Humbling, is it not? hopeful? Oh, yes. Even in the wilderness of life, that you can sing, thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Those times to learn by grace that the wilderness are sometimes God's way to wean us from the most precious things in the world and to rest in him, to lean on him and him alone. Our second thought, oh God, you are my God because of his help. And again, what it is, why it is, and how his help ought to transform us. Because we read in verse 7 of Psalm 63, because thou hast been my help. Now, what is meant by help? Well, it points to be assisted by someone else, supported by another. In fact, it shows us our needs, our helplessness. We are vulnerable, our weakness, our need of another. When the cry is in your heart, the experience with the psalmist is your experience. For example, Psalm 22, why art thou so far from helping me? It can be in the wilderness experience, and it seems none is to help. Psalm 27, hide not thy face from me, and you long for his presence. And when you see one's face, such one is in your presence. Hide not thy face from me, thou art my help. Or with the words of Psalm 30, hear me, O Lord, have mercy, be thou my helper. Or Psalm 38, make haste to help me, O Lord. And then Psalm 40, the cry of the heart, think upon me, thou art my help and my deliverer. Why is that cry, congregation? Why is that cry born in the heart? Is it not an echo of Christ's own word applied in your heart by the Spirit? Because it is of Christ when he cried on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? When he experienced there was none to help, so that you may experience his help and presence. A very present help in trouble. Oh, blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob. Those in need. He is their help. He is your help and shield. That is sure and certain. And maybe you have to be reminded this evening. Because note, even in the wilderness, the psalmist, remember that the Lord has been his help. And verse 6, I remember. Verse 7, thou hast been my help. Something that he remembers from the past. Verse 2, I have seen thee in the sanctuary. And maybe you recognize this. That there are times that you lay in bed in the evening, and you meditate, you think things over, you reflect. In times when you think, experience, where is God in all of this? You even lay awake at night. Eh? The experience of the psalmist here in verse 6. Missing God's presence. And then you travel the memory lane. Eh? You cannot deny the Lord's work in your life. But that was the past. You cannot deny that there were times in your life that you sought him and thirsted after him and longed for him. But if I would ask you now tonight, just between you and the Lord, has he been your help? When you cry to him in distress, hear, O Lord, be merciful to me. O Lord, be my helper. Did he not answer you? When you look back in your life tonight and you may say, despite who I am before him and ought to be, Can you not testify tonight? He has never left me nor forsaken me. This I may say by grace. The Lord is my helper. Has he not been your help? Maybe there is a struggling soul in our midst. Has he not been your help? Experience, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. Thou art my help. To whom else shall you go then, in a dry and thirsty land? What an encouragement, eh? Verse 8, thy right hand upholds me. That is his help. That is your only hope and help. He upholds me, sustains you, carries you. And in times that you cannot go further, he scoops you up. Even now. Fear not, says the Lord, I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. O God, thou art my God. Are you not joining the psalmist? Even in the midst of the wilderness, maybe you came to church this evening with all your cares. Maybe anxiety in your young life. Maybe concerns that you have for 2024. And you came maybe even this evening, and if you are honest, when life is overwhelmed, you did not seek him, you did not long for him, you do not thirst for him. And then to hear, maybe unexpected, maybe not expected anymore, from the living God through his living word. And he says, I help you. Seek me, while I may be found. I will uphold you, so that you long for me again. So that you can say, refresh, I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord. And in thy word is my delight. I am the living water, says this Savior, this substitute, this living Christ. So that you thirst not after the things of the here and now, but after me, says the Lord again. O God, you are my God, and therefore I will seek him early in the morning. Parents and young parents, when you have a couple of children, can be very busy in your life. But set time aside for devotions and prayer, seeking him. And that is, of course, very different than picking up your phone in the morning and checking your messages first thing. When Martin Luther knew that he had a busy day ahead of him, he prayed an hour longer. Young people, spend time in Scripture. And young people, when you want to know someone better, you want to be in his or her presence. Well, so it is with the Lord. He will meet you through his word, meeting him in Scripture, so that you are more acquainted with him personally. Get to know him more through his word and work, and getting to know yourself more, so that you need him more and more. It is personal tonight. Our text verse said, my God. My God. Pause for a moment and realize this, his word. My God. The creator of the universe, from nothing is too small nor too little. This great and awesome God. My God in Christ. My Redeemer. My God, that is to experience, he is my rock, my refuge, my fortress, my deliverer, my strength. That is his offer to us this night. Regardless where you are in life, I want to be your God, says this Lord, because of my loving kindness in Christ, because of his help for Christ's sake. He is present, and you may experience his presence even now. And he meets you in a season of spiritual dryness. And he lifts you up through his living water and his loving kindness, his gesed and help. That is his grace. That is his mercy. That is his favor towards you for Christ's sake. And therefore, congregation, do you begin to see the gripping seriousness of the reality of the verses 9 to 11? Where we read, but those that seek my soul, and that was not only for the psalmist, maybe in your life as well, enemies. And they are ultimately God's enemies, those who resist Christ, those who want to be their own God, have no need of him. Don't seek him. Don't thirst after him. While he, in his loving kindness, reaches out to them. They, says the psalmist, shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall. The mouth of them that speak lies, that are hypocrites, they shall be stopped. Where are you in life? There are only two kinds of people in this world, here in New Jersey, in Pompton Plain. You are humble to repentance by his loving kindness and help. And you may say or sigh by grace, O God, thou art my God. You cannot miss him anymore. And experience by times in his presence his fullness of joy. Experience in him his total satisfaction. It is a feasting, says verse 5. Or you are your own God and have no need of him. And if this is you, here in our midst or online, I urge you, as an ambassador of this loving and helping Christ, this Savior, who has given himself freely, turn to him now. Don't delay. Don't despise the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering. Or do you not know that it is the goodness of God, his loving kindness and his help, leads you to repentance? To learn more and experience his loving and kind grace. As Horatius Bonar once wrote, not what I am, O Lord, but what thou art. That alone can my soul true rest. Thy love, not mine, bids fear and doubt depart and stills the tossed tempest heart. O God, thou art my God. And therefore, will the Lord cast off forever? No. No. Does his promise fail forevermore? Never. Has God forgotten to be gracious? Congregation, he is more than gracious. And therefore, because of thy loving kindness, my lips shall praise thee. And because thou hast been my help, and therefore in the shadow of thy wings, in his protection, will I rejoice. And that is here in the beginning at times, maybe with faltering words, but then forever and ever to be in his presence and never again. missing him anymore. Through him, says the psalmist, through him alone, whose presence goes before us. And that for Christ's sake. Amen.